Good afternoon. I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason dismissed a lawsuit filed by the state of Alaska that sought ownership of the land beneath Mendenhall Lake and part of the river. It's a defeat in the Dunleavy administration's push to take control of federal lands in the state. KTOO has more. The state of Alaska filed the lawsuit against the federal government in November of 2022. It came as Governor Mike Dunleavy sought re-election. It was filed just a week before Election Day that year. The land has been under U.S. Forest Service jurisdiction since the early 1900s. But the state of Alaska argued that the ownership should have been turned over to Alaska at statehood. Both the lake and the upper river in question lie within the Tongass National Forest. The Mendenhall Lake is beneath the Mendenhall Glacier, which is one of Alaska's most visited tourist attractions. The Forest Service estimates that more than 1 million people visited the glacier this year. In Gleason's ruling in early December, she granted the U.S. government's request to dismiss the lawsuit. She heard oral arguments on the case in May. Gleason ruled that the federal government may keep the title to the submerged lands because it held the land when Alaska was a territory, and it expressed the intent to retain the land through statehood. Her decision said that handing the claims over to the state could compromise the Mendenhall Lake Recreation Area's purpose of protecting the area's recreational and scenic value. A spokesperson for the Forest Service directed questions about the litigation to the Department of Justice. Alaska Attorney General Treg Taylor says the state is disappointed in the decision and is evaluating its next steps in the case. The state's lawsuit was part of a campaign movement launched by the Dunleavy administration called Unlocking Alaska. It began in 2021, and it was an effort to assert more state control over federally managed areas. Currently, the federal government is the largest landowner in Alaska with 60% of the total area. In a letter earlier this week, Dunleavy asked President-elect Donald Trump to issue an Alaska-specific executive order, quote, restoring Alaska's authority over wildlife, lands, and water, and completing the transfer of statehood lands promised in 1959. The U.S. Forest Service finalized a plan last December to overhaul the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area. The lawsuit threatened to uproot that plan. It includes a new welcome center, increased parking, and new public-use cabins. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. And after three previously failed attempts, a fourth application to put a cruise ship limit question before Sitka voters has passed the city's initial legal review. KCAW's Catherine Rose reports.
Organizers now have a few months to collect just over 600 signatures in support of their ballot proposition. If they get enough signatures, it could go before the voters in a special election next spring. The advocacy group Small Town Soul wants to limit cruise traffic in Sitka following several years of growth in the industry that's more than doubled the community's pre-pandemic cruise traffic numbers. The ballot proposition would limit cruise traffic in Sitka to 4,500 passengers per day and 300,000 annually. It would establish a permitting process for cruise ships that the city would oversee and would fine cruise ships if they dock without a permit or exceed the number of scheduled passengers. The new initiative also removes language requiring a Sitka port facility permit and considers passengers ashore instead of persons, meaning cruise ship crew members would not count toward the cap. It's the first time a cruise limit ballot question has advanced this far in the process. The last three petition applications were denied by the city's legal department because they were deemed unenforceable and included confusing or misleading provisions. Anchorage law firm Jermaine Dunnigan and Owens prepared the legal opinion on the proposal. In their letter, they note that opponents have called into question a number of legal concerns around the initiative, but the bar is very high for proving a ballot initiative is unconstitutional before it has been enacted. While they say the ordinance invites a variety of possible constitutional challenges, none are clear-cut enough to warrant the city's rejection of the application at this stage in the process. The clerk can only reject an application if the law leaves no room for argument about its unconstitutionality. In their recommendation that the city approve the application, the attorneys write, at this point, any legal challenges to the proposed initiative are best addressed by a court. Organizers now have to collect signatures amounting to one-third of the number of votes in the last regular municipal election. In a statement, Larry Edwards, one of Soul's organizers, wrote, Sitka's home rule charter allows 90 days for us to get the signatures, but we aim to get them in weeks, not months, toward having the special election in early spring. Once they've collected signatures, the petition will be submitted to the city clerk's office for a final review. If it goes to a special election and is approved by the voters, it would go into effect in 2026. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And Alaska has the highest rate of sexual assault in the country and one of the highest rates of domestic violence. But survivors, especially in rural areas, don't always have access to someone who could collect forensic evidence of those crimes. So an Anchorage nurse is training healthcare providers on how to do this for their patients. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has this story. And a note to listeners, this story discusses violence that may be disturbing.
Actor Jennifer Koisman sits on a medical exam table pretending to be a patient. She's in an exam room on the University of Alaska Anchorage campus.
I got picked up off the ground by a chokehold from behind.
Her neck and hands are painted with fake bruises.
I thought it was the end. I thought I was going to die.
Student Georgia Davenport participates on a video call, instructing the nurse in the room.
First, take a swab and do a buccal swab inside of Mary's cheek for me.
Sure.
The 17 students in this healthcare forensic training are providers who work in Alaska. They're in a free 3-day course run by UAA on trauma-informed responses to assault and violence. They learn how to watch out for signs of abuse and assault, how to connect people to sexual assault and domestic violence resources, and, if needed, how to collect and document evidence of assaults that can be used later in court. Angelia Trujillo is a nurse and professor at UAA. She designed and has run the course for 6 years. She says healthcare providers have a unique opportunity to support people who've experienced violence.
We see people every day. They're coming in and maybe they're a sexual assault victim. Maybe it's domestic violence, right? Child abuse, the person who got beat up in a bar fight, the person who got assaulted in a park.
The state already has a team that responds to sexual assaults and strangulations called the SART, or Sexual Assault Response Team. This training is meant to train healthcare workers on how to gather evidence if someone can't or doesn't want to access the response team. Trujillo was motivated to design the class after learning about a woman who was killed by her partner after years of domestic violence. Trujillo was floored by how many times the woman had seen healthcare providers who hadn't documented or reported the abuse.
She went to 5 or 6 different doctors. She went to 2 different hospitals. She had a knife wound that was not reported. You know, she had twins. There was no information in the OB record or the pediatric record. Despite her having injuries and broken bones and knife wounds and things over the course of her life.
Trujillo saw that each of those healthcare visits could have been an opportunity to document signs of domestic violence and to offer a path to safety. Trujillo had already trained people on how to respond to sexual assaults, but she saw those same skills could also help providers respond to and document other kinds of violence. It's crucial in a state with some of the highest rates of sexual assault, domestic violence, and violent crimes. That's according to data from the National Domestic Violence Hotline and the FBI. Brenda Stanfill is the executive director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. She says sometimes it takes people a long time to report domestic violence, so documentation by healthcare workers can be crucial evidence.
If you see certain types of injury, if you see certain things, that very well may mean that this person is being abused at home, and being able to document in that chart really may be the difference between whether they're believed later on or not.
Susan Meskis is a nurse who focuses on labor and delivery. She says the training has made her think differently about her past work.
I kept asking myself, how many patients have come through for labor and delivery that I've missed the signs that they were in an abusive relationship? Maybe they didn't even want to be pregnant.
She says she's learned how to better ask questions and look for body language that might mean she should ask even more. She says it also helped her have a more hopeful approach to her patients who are in domestic violence relationships. She says when people come in again and again and don't want to leave the relationship, it can feel exhausting. But with more training, she now knows how important it is to offer resources every single time she sees someone.
It might be that one time that we address it, or that one resource that gets them out of that situation and maybe even saves their life.
Course designer Angelia Trujillo says the better care victims of violence get, the less likely they are to be victimized in the future. She says she hopes this class helps create a critical mass of healthcare providers that can provide support and documentation to Alaskans experiencing violence across the state, In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
You're listening to KTOO.